Right, we're continuing in the part of the manual called Destructive, or rather Helpful Communication Patterns. And we're going to review, and we'll continue this series later in another series after Tom does his lesson in between. And I just wanted to really express my thanks to Tom Beswick and the elders for giving me this opportunity. And for Evelyn for preparing the material. Is Evelyn here? I don't see her. Evelyn Bone. She did a really good job of duplicating materials, did it very accurately and thoroughly and punctually. So I want to review with you this morning, and as before we go on, I want to encourage you, you know, to take time to do your verses. Nail down the time when you're going to do that and guard that time. And I suggest that you select a time early in the morning before the pressures of the day close in on you, and then it just will not happen. And guard this time for the Lord. And follow the memory method. And if you look on page 52 in your manual, it's the memory method. You want to stay with that method. It really works. You say the verse 25 times the first day, 20 the second, 15 the third, 10 the fourth, once a day for 45 days, once a week for 7 weeks, and once a month thereafter. The once a month is the thing that really helps you to make sure you don't forget them. You go back over your verses. And report weekly and recite to your accountability person. That really does facilitate the doing of this, to be accountable to someone. Say the reference before and after the verse. It's really important to know the reference. When you have these opportunities, you cross someone's path and you have hopefully a little card in your pocket, and write a reference down, an appropriate reference, to be able to give someone an appropriate reference when they don't have time to hear a verse, may not want to hear it, but they can later ponder it and study it. And I found that I've gotten some feedback over the years. People said that was just what I needed. And then you're ready to give that answer. Carry your verses with you and seize every opportunity when there's dead time in your life, when you get stuck somewhere. Use that time. Just a few minutes you can review a few verses, rather than maybe just sitting there in the boredom and being frustrated with it. It's a treasured time when you find these times in our society where you can stop and review your verses. That's very hard to do. There's so many things beckoning our attention. If something interferes, like the Christmas season, can be a big distraction of your routines that you have going on in your life. So I encourage you to guard that time. Take time to do that. If you fall off the wagon and you don't do it for a few days, go right back to where you left off. And if you have any doubts where you are, start through your cards by starting on card number one, looking at the back side where it is only the reference, and keep going through until you come to a verse you cannot say. Then, at that point, start over by saying the verse 25 times, and first day and 20 the second, and so on. And then confess to your accountability person that you have fallen off the wagon. You've let other things become priority. And confess it to them and recommit to do this, and then report to that person weekly and recite the verse to them. How many of you have an accountability person? This is really important. It will greatly facilitate this. It's called constructive tension. If you knew you had to come here this morning and recite the first 7 verses, you'd probably study them, wouldn't you? So it does help. And 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speaks, he should speak as though he's speaking the very words of God. So when you have an opportunity, you'll be able to speak something from God's Word. You'll have the right word. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the right word for the weary. And 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you, but you do it with meekness and fear. It's a fearful thing to have an opportunity to counsel someone or to guide someone or to encourage someone and not have anything to say. If you know the word, you'll have something to say, because it gives us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. That's 2 Peter 1 verse 3. So beware of I think, I feel, I believe, or the Lord told me. Better to say what? The Word of God says. It's going to stand forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8. And then your plan of reading through the Bible, you begin in Genesis 1, read a chapter a day for a week, and then the following week, go to Matthew 1 and read a chapter a day for a week. Then you go back to where you left off on Genesis the following week. During that time, you're reading a psalm and a proverb every day, starting at Psalm 1 and Proverbs 1. If that's too much for you, you can alternate. You read a psalm one day and a proverb the next. But it's important is to stay in the Word. And we're experiencing a lot of problems keeping those disciplines going in our lives. When you have 8 grandchildren and 4 of them are right next door, it's wonderful to have them. And there's all kinds of things going on all the time. But then when people come and stay with you, sometimes we just let these disciplines go. We were determined last time we had a guest in our home to do our thing before breakfast and read the Bible with that person. And I encourage you to do that. Now, I wanted to review with you a thing about active listening. How are you doing with that? Are you conscious of interrupting people and finishing sentences? Are you repeating in your mind what the other person is saying instead of thinking about what you want to say? And have you been careful about interrupting? If you interrupt someone, it's like saying what? It's like telling them what? What you are saying is not important. Shut up and listen to me. And that's not very nice. And you will not be very available or approachable if you interrupt people. It really frustrates people. So remember, love is kind. Let all that you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:14. 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient. So you're willing to wait for the person to finish. What's the question I suggested you ask if someone pauses for a moment? Somebody's saying, all right. Anybody? Right. Were you turn to the person next to you and say, were you finished with your thought? Try that right now. All right. All right. All right. So, did anybody practice that? Has anybody practiced that? Anyone? I encourage you to do that. It's a very kind, patient, loving thing to do. And it makes you very available. Makes you very available and approachable if you listen carefully. The Word says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. James 1:19. I got a report from someone that's been practicing coming alongside tenderly. That's on page 35, and the opposite of it is on page 20, number 4. So if you can turn to those two pages and look at them. Coming alongside tenderly is based on Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The spirit of that verse is to be with someone in whatever state of mind they're in. So you just tenderly acknowledge that. I know that was very disappointing to you. I know that was very frustrating. I know that you're very discouraged. I know you're feeling hopeless. And then what? Preach a sermon? Be quiet. Just for a few seconds. It is amazing how it communicates you are with them. You're at their side. The word literally in Greek is paraklesis. It means coming alongside tenderly. Very supportive. The word for Holy Spirit, a similar word, the Comforter, who is called to our side. So, how are you doing with unfinished business? Let's see. Before I go to that, back to page 20, number 4, which is the opposite of coming alongside. Page 20. Quick advice. You remember the story of the wife that came to her husband and said, oh, I got a horrible toothache. And he says, you got a toothache, you go to the dentist, you know. And she got very upset and he came in to see me. And I told him, I said, you know, that probably wasn't new information to her. She knows to go to the dentist. She's probably, what she's saying is, I need to know that someone cares. So as you reflect back what you're seeing in the person, you know, I've had toothaches that have driven me up. Well, I know that really hurts. I'll call the dentist, see if we can get you in tomorrow. I'm going to go over to the pharmacy and see if we can pick up something for you. Now, how many of you are working on unfinished business? People you need to forgive. People you need to ask to forgive you. People you need to make peace with. People you need to express love and appreciation to. People you need to ask to forgive you for responding in wrong ways, for having hurt you. No matter how badly someone has treated you, would not justify returning evil for evil. Romans 12:21 says, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Has anyone used letter writing? That's a very good way to do this, to carry out your unfinished business, writing letters. So try to get a letter off each week to someone. Remember, there's a deep reluctance to do that. And I want to encourage you in doing that, that to be careful that you don't start anticipating what others will do and let them decide what you will do. You do what you do heartily for the Lord and not for man. God sees it and does not forget it. Then don't evaluate the success of what you do based on how people respond. It's the wrong measuring stick. We're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. See, how is it that it's not in vain if a person doesn't respond appropriately? God sees it and does not forget it. Hebrews 6:10. So in your application time today, I want you to tell someone next to you, at least one person this week, that you need to write a letter to, some unfinished business you have with that person. You know, I lived a long time in doing all kinds of crazy, sinful things in my life. And when I started walking with the Lord, there was just so much to do. And as we taught in jail ministry, we taught this unfinished business every week in jail ministry, because those men have a lot of unfinished business. And many of them are very, they feel life is over for them. So we try to give them hope and get them get busy writing letters to people they need to ask forgiveness for, and to be very specific in your confession. And we got reports back from some men who did get their lives together. Now, all these things you're learning, if you don't practice them, if you don't test your feelings and your thoughts and your ideas and your attitudes, you say, what's the other choice? But Isaiah, let's see, the last verse of Judges is a good verse about that. Judges 21:25. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray and turned our own way. So when you don't do it God's way and you do what's right in your own eyes, we would ask the men in jail this each week, how does it go? And they would answer in chorus and usually say, that's why I'm in jail. So how does it go for you when you do what's right in your own eyes? It says we go astray. But everyone who knows these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man building his house on a rock. Then when the storms of life come, this person's house stands because it's built on a rock. And everyone who knows these words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man building his house on sand. Then when the storms of life come, his life just comes crashing down. So be sure you test your motives to make sure they're not self-serving. We have an immense capacity to be self-serving, tooting our own horn, trying to bring attention to ourselves. We must decrease so that He will increase. So even when you receive a compliment from someone, it's good to receive it graciously, and we're going to be talking about that. But you want to reflect that back to the Lord. It says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So you say, well, I'm truly a depraved human being, and it's by the grace of God. If there's any good in me, it's because what God has done in transforming my life. And Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transported us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. So as you learn these things, you're going to be free. You're going to be delivered. And you'll be equipped to serve, but without the crippling tyranny of expecting an appropriate response from a frail, fragile, fallen, depraved human being. To get that out of your life and not rest your hope on a human being and start resting your hope on the Lord is a great liberation. It'll free you up to be God's person. You'll have a heart filled with God's Word, and He fills our hearts with His unfailing love, and that love can overcome anything. There's nothing it cannot face. It has no limits to its endurance. So let's... You're coming down not to the place of where you're going to be responding in love. And remember that love is kind. It does not keep records of wrong. It is patient. It is not easily provoked. And this love protects. You protect your spouse, making jokes about your spouse to at a party or something, some social gathering, having fun at someone else's expense. That's not kind. That's not protecting. It does not keep records of wrongs. So as you practice these things and trust in the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. And a passage to those of you, for all of us, I guess it's appropriate, but it's especially appropriate for me, Psalm 92, verse 14. Speaking of God's people, it says that you will bear fruit in your old age. So it's really rewarding to be fruitful in your old age. And as we grow in the Word, we should be even better at that. So I'm really thankful for the days that the Lord has given me and how rewarding it is to continue to be fruitful even when you're approaching 80 at the end of this month. My wife is much younger than that. All right. So if you'll turn to page 36 in your communication study guide, we're going to start with where we left off last week, and we're going to go with assertion, about being assertive. Not aggressive, but assertive. Do you have trouble saying no? Persuasive salesman or someone calling you, trying to sell you something, make an appointment. Someone has done you in with a product they've sold you, and you have trouble being assertive and going back and protesting. Because if you do that, then they won't like you. They may not invite you to their birthday party. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So often fear of people will cause us to be unable to say no when we really need to say no. And this is a good thing to teach your kids how to do this. Now I want you to add 2 Timothy 3:12. Remember that when you do what is right with the Lord, you're going to be persecuted for it by a lot of people. And this verse says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it comes with the territory. And every time you suffer, you can rest assured you're going to grow from it. You come out of it matured, gifted, strengthened, and wiser. So this is a way to be assertive. To say, Joe, I would rather not do that. Someone's suggesting you do something that's questionable. That if what we're doing here in private became public, it would probably diminish my influence for the Lord. So I'd make a choice not to do that. This is the thing I found when I was working in industry, that people would come up to you, put their hand on your shoulder and pull you aside, and you say, oh, here comes probably a joke that I probably couldn't tell in Sunday school. So I learned to ask that question before they start. I said, can I tell this in Sunday school? And usually that would stop them. And then in the future, when they'd come up, they'd start saying, yeah, you can tell this in Sunday school. So I'd rather not take part in it. So if someone's calling you and they're in some kind of a survey and your time, Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise men, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. You can waste a lot of time with a sales pitch. So it's okay to interrupt then, all right, and say, I would rather not take part in that. Thank you. Goodbye. You know? And they're talking. The phone's going all the way down. They're still talking. And it doesn't matter, you know, because you're going to be a good steward of your time. Or they may come out to the house to sell you something you don't need and maybe pay two prices for it. And you can do this in a gentle way. A gentle answer turns away anger, and a harsh one stirs it up. So it can be very powerful when you speak softly. Now, someone, again, has done something and you said, I'd rather not do that, and they continue, then you can get stronger. And you can say it very softly, Joe, I would rather not do that. And you can hear the finality of that. You don't have to shout. You don't have to get angry. You'll be much more powerful if you speak softly. Now, I'm asking you to scratch this one. I was doing a teacher seminar in Los Angeles once, and one of the teachers, when I said, use this thing, I would like. Said, I don't care what you would like. So I thought, well, maybe that's not a good sentence because it starts with I, me, myself, and I, my three favorite people. So scratch that and replace it with the next one. It would really help if you would listen. It would really help if you would allow me to finish a sentence. And you use the broken record technique. Someone ran into one of our cars in the parking lot, and they had to rent a new car, another car for us. And about five cars later, we finally got one that was running right. So we went to take the car back. We didn't take it back to the dealer where we had the agency where we had rented it from. But there was a closed door, and I took it in there. And the guy says, "Oh," I said, "we don't do that. You have to take it back to where you got it." I said, "I'm not willing to be further inconvenienced. I would like for you to give me, I'd like for you to take this car right here and right now, and give me my money." They were going to refund us for all the problems we'd had with this car. The brakes had gone out on one. One was several quarts low in oil, and the window wouldn't go up on another one. And we had spent some money. So the guy says, "We can't do that. You have to take it back to where you are." I said, "I would like for you to give me my money here, and I'd like for you to receive the car here. I'm not willing to be further inconvenienced." And I spoke very softly. The manager overheard this and came over and told the guy to accept the car. So it does work. In times past, I would have tucked my tail and dutifully went over the other place and been further inconvenienced. So don't get derailed. Stay with the broken record technique. There was a minister, Grace, his wife had bought some shoes for one of their children, and his shoes just fell apart. And she took it back in, and this guy, you know, started suggesting that she'd done all kind of things wrong with the shoes, hadn't taken care of them, it was her fault. She didn't respond to that. She says, "I would like for you to give me a refund, and I'd like for you to give it to me now." And it worked. She just kept saying that. She was really happy about doing that. All right, being assertive does not mean being aggressive. Now, sometimes people get really aggressive, and they do a lot of damage and get themselves all upset, and it's counterproductive probably to the very thing you'd like to accomplish. Hey, what's going on here? What do you do when things go wrong? You thank God for the trials, okay? All right, we're reviewing paraklesis, coming alongside tenderly, and hopefully we can. So, remember to be quiet when you come alongside after you've reflected back what you've heard from the person. I have no idea what went wrong here. This has never happened before. Okay. Oh, I know. Okay. All right, we ended the I need to go to I need to escape. Where's the door? All right. Put it this way. Right, turn to the true servant, which is your next page. We got this resolved. We were changing slides. Okay. All right, the true servant, page 38. We had reached the end of one slideshow, and I'm going to another one. Okay. So, a true servant. Jesus came not to be served, but to what? To serve. And he taught us that by washing his disciples' feet. Right? Mark 10:45. Says, and then this is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I won't take the time to read this to you, but we will glean from it just what the examples were that he taught by doing that. So each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So the gifts that God has given you, you want to use those to serve others. You want to cultivate them and use them to serve others. Right. So these are the characteristics of a true servant. They come out of this simple act of washing his disciples' feet. Does not wait to be asked. And parents, I encourage you to teach this to your children, to do things without being asked and do them heartily as though you're doing them for the Lord. You can add these passages. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is within your power to do it. James 4:17, this verse identifies that kind of behavior as sin. When you know the right thing to do and you do not do it, it is sin. Does not have to have a lot of recognition. Matthew 6:4 talks about you do something in secret and your heavenly Father will reward you openly. So try to do something every day for someone without being found out within your family or at work or wherever you might be. Do something nice for someone without being found out. That person may imagine a dozen different people that maybe did this. Think of the mileage you get out of this good deed if you don't have to have credit for it. See, that really tests your motives, because so often we do something and anxiously awaiting some appropriate response. Does not criticize those who do not serve. Philippians 2, 14-15. That's on page 23 in your communication study guide, and it's about the no whining. You remember the big no whining sign? Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You'll be very outstanding if you're not whining among a world of whiners. And, you know, this has been a characteristic of my life for decades, being a whiner. And I've tried to put that out of my life and not to complain about anything. And that's what the verse says. It says, you know, do not complain or argue about anything. Does that apply to politics? Well, I think it's always these principles, I believe they're universals. They're not just something you do in church on Sunday morning. They are applicable out there in the world where we live. They really do work. Does not serve with expectations. Jesus did not expect the disciples to wash his feet because he washed their feet. Must learn to receive. Peter had trouble receiving from Jesus washing his feet. And Jesus rebuked him for that. Serves those who reject, misunderstand, don't appreciate, slander or use you. And when you do this, when you're serving people and returning good for evil and serving people who reject you, misunderstand you, don't appreciate your slander, you're more like Jesus. They reviled him when he was on the cross. They spit in his face and reviled against him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you know these things and you do them, then you're going to be blessed. Now, from these 9 characteristics of a true servant, in your table time today, application time, identify the ones that you need to work on. You can write something down right now and then you can share it when you break into your groups. All right? Write down the one that you need to work on the most right now. Then you confess it, men to men and women to women. Nail down, you know, who is going to do what, when, where, and accountable to whom. Are you using that format as you're trying to get things done and be more orderly and disciplined in your life? Nail down who, you. You're going to do what? And when you're going to do it? Where are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And then to be accountable to someone will greatly facilitate being a more orderly and disciplined person. You'll be amazed how much more you'll accomplish. Deny yourself pleasure until you've done this hard thing. That keeps the flesh off the throne. You choose to respond like a child of God rather than in the flesh. All right, receiving is your next page, page 39. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We've all heard sermons on that. But have you ever heard a sermon on receiving? In all the years that I've been teaching this, I think I had one person that ever had heard a sermon on receiving. Now, receiving from others, if you have difficulty with that, like deeds of kindness, someone's kind to you, and you feel indebted that you have to do something right back. Having you over for a meal, you feel like you got to have them over for a meal. Someone gives you a gift. You have trouble receiving a gift. If someone gives you a compliment, and this is the thing I've had trouble with, if someone would compliment me, I would sort of discount it by saying, oh no, I'm really stupid, or they would compliment your clothes or something, and oh, this old rag, you know, I've got this at Goodwill or something. So we need to learn how to graciously receive love and affection, kindness and tenderness, and to be able to receive someone's tears and acknowledge them. I can see that you're really hurting. And be what? Quiet. Now, if you can do this without embarrassment, someone compliments you, without feeling indebted, without denying a compliment, sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't have. You didn't need to do that. So, graciously receive, because we deny the giver the joy of giving if we do not graciously receive it. So to be able to say, thank you for that nice compliment, you just made my day. So in your application time, I want you to do an exercise on this, and that's on page 39. Make a note of that. To give a compliment to the person that you are reporting to, and then see how they receive it, and then do the reverse of having you each give a compliment to the other and see how the person receives it. Now, if someone compliments you, try to graciously receive it. See? Thank you for that nice compliment. You just made my day. All right, now, this is a helpful communication pattern, number 11. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. There's no greater sacrifice than that. And husbands, that's a great challenge for us. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In the same way, in the context of that verse where it says that wives are instructed to be gentle and quiet, submissive spirit. And in the chapter before that, it talks about how Jesus, you know, when they reviled at Him, He did not retaliate. He kept entrusting Himself to God. So if you do what is right, and you suffer for it, and you patiently endure it, you find favor with God, and we're called for that purpose. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Walk in love. Let all that you do be done in love. These are the definitions of love from about 8 different versions. Love is kind. Love can face anything. Love is patient. Love is not easily provoked. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not boastful. Hardly even notices when wrong. Is not irritable. Love does not give up. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things. Love is not ill-mannered or rude or jealous. Love always protects. Love can outlast anything. Love hopes all things. Love has no limits to its endurance. Love takes no pleasure in others' sins. So look those over, and as part of your time in the group, this is not just for husbands, that's for all of us. Look at the things that you need. What definition of love are you lacking in? Circle it and confess that to someone when you do application time. And those are some of the versions that those come from. So of all these qualities of love, the ones I need to work on are: confess it, nail down what you're going to do about it, and the doing chart is on page 54. You can write it in there and continue to use that doing chart when you want to get something done. Or even if you don't want to do it, write it down and do it anyway. When we know the right thing to do and we do not do it, it is sin. So deny yourself pleasure until you've done that. Or we'll complete this and then we'll have you break up in your groups, and then the remaining part of this communication study guide we'll cover in part 2 that will be coming up later. 1 Peter 3:1 says, it begins with, in the same way you wives. You say, what does that mean? Well, to find the meaning, you look at the verses that come before this passage, beginning in 1 Peter 2, verse 20. It says, if you do what is right and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So remember, when you're persecuted for doing what's right, you find favor with God. That's the thing to tell yourself, rather than focusing on this horrible thing that someone has done to you. So when things go wrong, what's the first thing to do from your memory verses? It starts with always. Who knows? All right. Always giving thanks to God the Father for the good things? For everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have been practicing that? And something goes wrong, immediately and continue. Thank God, as long as that thought is consuming your mind, it will extinguish it. So remember that you find favor with God. That's the good part. So remember, if some of the unbelievers you're around liked you, you should be worried about yourself. Because remember that if you live righteously for God, you will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Can the same way you wives be submissive to your own husband, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Let not your adornment be external only. See, so it's okay to adorn yourself externally, but not only. Not to the neglect of the inner person of the heart. So let not your adornment be external only, braiding the hair, wearing of gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So remember that you will find favor with God if you return good for evil, and you'll be precious in God's sight if you're a gentle, quiet person. And later that says that's for men too, and then later in that same chapter it says this is for all. Of all the qualities of love, see page 40, and gentleness, chasteness, respectfulness, quietness, submissiveness, the ones that I need to put on are. So circle those and confess those in your application time. And is that in the page? Oh, yeah. Confess it, women to a godly woman. Nail down who is going to do what, when, where, and how, and be accountable to someone and report back weekly. And put it on your doing chart on page 54. Okay. All right. We're going to stop there and have you do your practice time. Now remember, you're going to recite your verse. Is there anyone that would like to recite the first 7 verses this morning? Or even one of them? All right, recite your verse this week. Let's say Ephesians 4:29, our theme verse, before you break into your application groups. All right? All right. Say the reference first and say it after. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. All right, so you can break up into your groups and stay focused on reciting your verse, confessing things to each other, making a commitment, report how you're doing with unfinished business, how you're doing with listening, report these things to the person beside you, and try to stay focused, okay? Don't get derailed. All right.